this morning I want to continue our discussion of the tremendous hope that we have that's a part of our life. And it is a hope that is centered in baptism. Baptism plays such a major role in the way that we relate to God. And we've been talking about just exactly what God does for us in baptism. You know, we don't often think about baptism as an activity that God is involved in. We sometimes begin to think about baptism as something that we do separate and apart from God. And I want to dispel that notion, because I think God does some marvelous things in baptism. Now, we started talking about how he acquires and accepts believers as his very own people. He seals them on behalf of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. He grants us salvation. He gives us forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit to his people. We talked in our Bible class this morning about all of the things that people did to anger God, to disrespect God. I mean, think about the people of Israel wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. As they started that wandering, they didn't have anything to eat, so they complained to Moses. Moses told God about it. God said, okay, I'll send a manna. And the people complained about the manna. All of the things that God does for us, forgiveness of sins, and people still sometimes complaining about what God does. He washes away our sins. Thankfully, he puts the old man to death. We sold ourselves as slaves to Satan. We went to his doorpost. We let him poke us through the ear. And we couldn't be free of that unless God put us to death and then raised us to be new creatures in Christ. Last week we talked about how he adds believers to the body of Christ, uniting them with him. And it's that unity that we have with God that is so fantastic. Well, this morning I want to talk about two big words. We don't often use these words in everyday language, but they're important ideas. God sanctifies us, he justifies us, and he cleanses people in the washing of baptism. So let's think about this idea that God justifies people. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Translation this morning, beginning at verse 9, the apostle reminds them, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? They have known that. It's been something that God has reinforced over and over again. Unrighteous people don't belong in the kingdom of God. He says, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, or thieves, or the greedy, or those who are habitually drunk, or verbal abusers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. They don't belong there. And they're not going to be there. Such were some of you. And I read a passage like that, and I think he'd been reading my diary. I was that kind of person. But he says, you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Now we're going to take the idea of justification and the idea of sanctification out of order in the way that the Apostle Paul mentions it. He says, you were washed, sanctified, and justified. This morning we're going to talk about how in baptism we're justified and sanctified. So let's think a little bit about what it means to say that we're justified. Justification, like I said, it's a word that we don't use very often in everyday conversation. It's a word that we have to define because it's just not something that we're familiar with. Mounts, who has written probably the most complete lexicon of Greek words, says that in the New Testament, this word, and it's up there in the Greek. I don't read Greek. I can't pronounce it. But this is the word that the apostle used in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. He says, in the New Testament, this is a word that means to hold guiltless, to accept as righteous, or to justify. In the passive, it means to be held to be acquitted or to be cleansed. Now remember, when we talk about baptism, we lay stress on the fact that this is something that we submit to. We're passive in the process. We allow someone to baptize us. We don't baptize ourselves. We allow someone to baptize us. So we're, in a sense, absolutely passive in this transaction, aside from the fact that we give our permission. We're going to be held to be righteous. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus reminds us of the way that we sometimes use this idea of righteousness. And he reminds us that God justification, what God does, is really different than man justification. And we're talking about these things in the passive right now. So God justification, what God does to us, is different than man justification, what other people do to us. Luke, the 16th chapter, at verse 14, he's talking to the Pharisees. Pharisees, a group of Jews who were very well off. They had prospered greatly under the Roman authorities. He says they were lovers of money. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But he says they were listening to all these things and were ridiculing Jesus and what Jesus had to say. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the light of the people, or in the sight of the people. But, he says, God knows your hearts. Because that which is highly esteemed among people is despicable in the sight of God. Pharisees were people that were held to be in the passive. Other people thought, oh, look at how righteous they are. How do you know they're righteous? God blessed them with all this great wealth. They seem to live such great lives. They don't have any difficulties. You know, the Apostle Paul was a man who was not highly esteemed by people. In fact, the Corinthians said, consider his body. He looks awful. His speech is contemptible. Oh, he writes great letters, but in person, he's terrible. And you know what he said to them? With me, it's not a big thing that you think I'm just difficult. it just doesn't matter much to me. Because I'm concerned about what God thinks about me. And one of the big differences in the way that God thinks about people and the way that people think about other people is that God looks at your heart. You remember when Samuel was going to seek a king for Israel? And he went to Jesse's house, and there were all these wonderful looking men, sons of Jesse. And Samuel thinks, surely this is one of the people that God wants me to make king. And then there's Saul, and then there's David. And he just didn't look like a king. Saul did, the first king. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. But then there's David. He doesn't look like a king. And God had to remind him, I look at the heart. That's what's really important in terms of God justification. And it's also different than self-justification. What we do to justify ourselves, this is the active justification. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the two people that went up to the temple to pray? Some people, according to Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 9, trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They justified themselves. They viewed others with contempt. That's usually what happens when we're justifying ourselves. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other tax collector. Tax collectors were the lowest of the low. The Pharisee stood and began praying this in regard to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Swindlers, crooked, adulterers, even like just tax collectors. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. Can you imagine this kind of prayer? Two people standing in the temple, and this man, I don't know whether he was standing next to the tax collector or whether he's on the other side of the room, but I can't imagine this man saying out loud, thank you that I'm not like this miserable tax collector over here. I'm on your team, and frankly, you're pretty lucky that I'm on your team. But this Pharisee was willing to do that. He was engaging in self-justification. He was telling God how righteous he was and comparing himself to the tax collector. Now Jesus turns his attention to that tax collector. He says, standing some distance away, this tax collector was unwilling even to raise his eyes to heaven, but was beating his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then listen to Jesus' commentary on these two people. He says, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other one. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. There's a big difference between God's justification and the justification that other people attribute to us and the justification that we want to claim for ourselves. But God looks at the heart. And remember, he's cleansing the heart. That's what happens in baptism. So why did I take these things out of order just a little bit? God justification, in baptism, God sets me free from my past. I used to be what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 6. And God justifies. I have a feeling that a lot of people wouldn't have. But God justifies. That's what he does in baptism. He washes us from all of those things that used to characterize us. And he sanctifies us. In baptism, God sets me on a new course of living. That's really what sanctification is. Again, from Mounts, this is a word that is used in the New Testament, and there it is in the Greek again. It's to separate something, to consecrate, to cleanse, to purify, to sanctify, to regard or reverence as holy. God sanctifies us. He sets us apart. And I have a feeling we don't always think about that when we think about baptism. Oh, we think about baptism and we say, well, if you didn't know what you were doing, if you didn't understand that baptism was for the forgiveness of sins, then it wasn't baptism. That could be true. But let me tell you, if you didn't understand that you were sanctified, if you didn't understand that you were set on a new course, huh? Might argue the same thing. Look at 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 20, and then we'll take up the reading again at verse 22, just because verse 21 doesn't seem to further the thought that we want to see this morning. He says, "The firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to keep away from wickedness." That's sanctification. You used to do wickedness, but now you don't. He says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things," does he cleanse himself or he regard himself as cleansed? God's the one that cleanses. We just have to regard ourselves as having been cleansed. Then we can be an implement for honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. That's what God does in baptism. He sets us apart for the work that he wants us to do. He doesn't want to use filthy tools to accomplish his purpose. So he cleanses the tool so that it can be used. That's justification and then sanctification. He continues there in 2 Timothy and he says, "Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bond servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, skillful in teaching, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, and perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth." Never would you hear a sanctified person, a justified person, going into the house of God to pray and saying, "I thank you that I'm not like that crummy tax collector. you would treat him with honor and seek to bring that person to a knowledge of Jesus. So God justifies us. Not men. We're not worried about what men think. We're worried about what God thinks. And it's not even what we think. It's what God thinks. And we live for Him. We don't live the way that we used to live. Because God has a different course in mind for us. Do you want to be baptized this morning? Let God into your life. He'll make the biggest changes that you can imagine. He'll wash away the sinful way that you used to live, and He'll give you a new way to live, a new life. If there's something we can do to help you to do that, let us know. We'll baptize you this morning. That's what God will do. And if you, having been justified and sanctified, have had trouble walking on this new life or on this new course, then return to it. God will forgive. It takes prayer. It takes a repentant heart, but God will forgive. And we want to help you do that. James says the effectual word of prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we want to pray with you if that's what you need.